church? Hell no. Are you no longer feeling comfortable in church? This podcast is for individuals who are desperately missing God, but don't know how to find Him. Substance abuse, domestic violence, sex offenses, acrimonious divorce can contribute to discomfort in the church. For these individuals, church is just not an option anymore. Ordained minister Dennis Hall and his guests invite you to listen to this podcast for topics that are inspiring, uplifting, and will bring hope to those who just feel church is not relevant in their lives today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Dennis Hall, and I am delighted that you're listening to our podcast today. You know, these are really interesting times in our culture. And I've been thinking a lot about some things I've heard on the news this week. And it reminded me of a story about my grandmother. My grandmother was keeping me as a little boy. I was 6 or 7 years old. And I began to tell her about this pregnant woman in our neighborhood. And when that word came out of my mouth, pregnant, my grandmother scolded me to no end and told me I should never use that word, that it was not a nice word to be talking about someone in the neighborhood who was pregnant. And in her mind, that was not something to be done in civil company. And I never forgot that lesson from my grandmother. And for years, I was a little afraid to use the word pregnant. But man, have things changed in our society. You know, there used to be a time in America when we would describe someone as cursing like a sailor. Well, cursing's become so commonplace that a phrase like that today is useless. We've gotten to a place in our society that makes curse words just some form of vulgarity. Now, the scripture tells us directly, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. And then over in Romans 12:14, the Bible instructs us to bless and do not curse them, and warns us that whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitfulness. 1 Peter 3:10. You know, God clearly instructs Christians to not curse or swear. So, why does it matter for us to consider cursing, swearing, or using profanity a sin? I've actually been asked that question by some young adolescents who hear cursing all around them and kind of want to know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Well, it matters because it reflects the condition of our hearts and our obedience to God's commandments regarding our speech and our words. Our words are not just random expressions. They're windows into the depths of our heart. As Jesus teaches in Matthew 15:18-19, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. That's the words of Jesus. Therefore, the language we choose reflects the condition of our innermost being. If our hearts are filled with love, kindness, and purity, our words will reflect that. And then on the other hand, if our hearts are filled with bitterness and anger or malice, our speech will betray our inner attitudes. The bottom line is when we engage in cursing and swearing and profanity, we dishonor God and disrespect His instructions for holy living. Now, I say all that to let you know that a news story a few days ago really grabbed my attention. It was a news story about the vulgarity and the obscenity of the top songs that are being listened to by young people in America. Frankly, I was taken aback by the extreme vulgarity and profanity in the lyrics that were portrayed on this news program. I immediately thought of a veteran that I saw interviewed on TV about trends in our society, and with tears running down his cheeks, saying that his fellow veterans did not die for this kind of freedom. Things have changed. Things have changed. You know, we all seem to have a threshold for what we consider to be obscene or profound or vulgar. The dictionary, we go to the dictionary, it defines obscene as being abhorrent to morality and virtue, containing language regarded to be taboo in polite company, And then profane is noted as being abusive, irreverent, and contemptuous towards something sacred. And then the dictionary tells us that vulgar means lacking in cultivation or taste. You know, if something is considered obscene, the odds are that the law will be involved in some way or another. Obscenity is actually used as a legal term that refers to expressions, meaning words or images or actions that offend the sexual morality of a given time and place, and then it's not protected by the First Amendment, freedom of speech. Profane or profanity comes from a Latin term which means outside the temple. In other words, something is considered profane when it violates the moral standards, the morality in a civil society. And then vulgarity refers to those coarse, everyday curse words and crude languages that mothers sometimes try to wash out of the mouths of their children with a bar of soap. You know, the odds are you won't end up in front of a judge for being vulgar, but you might find yourself in time out if your mother overhears you. Now, America does have federal laws that prohibit obscene, indecent, and profane content from being broadcast on the radio or TV. Now, that seems clear enough, but determining what is obscene, indecent, and profane can be difficult. Another matter. And it sometimes depends on who you talk to. In the Supreme Court's 1964 landmark case on obscenity and pornography, Justice Potter Stewart famously wrote, "I know it when I see it." In other words, he couldn't define what's pornographic, but he knew it when he saw it. Now, there's a process that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, uses to police broadcasters. And it's complaints from the public that drive the enforcement of the rules. However, we're in a new world. Cable TV and radio are not subjected to the same rules because they are subscription services. And then today, the internet provides streaming of music, including the obscene lyrics that I'm talking about. And so they seem to be totally outside the ability of the government to control obscenity in this new digital world. You know, the internet has become an integral part of our lives. People communicate through email. They're on social networking sites. They shop online. They do their banking online. They read news online. And yes, they listen to music online. You know, the internet allows for individuals to access sexually explicit images and song lyrics from practically anywhere a signal can be obtained. And it's the internet's decentralized and open architecture that's made it very difficult for government and laws to deal with communications over the internet, because the geographic boundaries, which is just worldwide, make it impossible, impractical. I was so taken back by this news story regarding the obscenity and vulgarity in the music that's being listened to by the youth of the country that I began my own research. And to say that I was astounded would be an understatement. I was kind of shocked. Now, if you're interested in this subject, I'd recommend that you get on the computer and Google up an article entitled "The 17 Dirtiest Song Lyrics from the Last 10 Years. Now, if you're anything like me, you're going to find these lyrics to be extremely vile, vulgar, obscene, using curse words of every type and describing every imaginable sex act. You'll find violence, and in particular, violence aimed at women, and violent songs aimed at the police. And you just have to say, are we surprised about what's going on in our country? When we look at these song lyrics, you know, and then we ask the question, are the lyrics and popular music becoming more and more obscene and vulgar? Well, several researchers have taken a look at this and have been tracking trends in lyrics. And one group looked at 600 of the biggest tracks, I guess, streaming on Spotify from 2010 to 2015. And they compared what they described as implicit lyrical content to the next 5 years from 2016 to 2020. And what they found, that the number of songs with obscene lyrics almost doubled in that time. And in this analysis, they went on to analyze current trends and concluded that this trend is clearly continuing in an upwards direction, suggesting that the use of explicit content is becoming more and more normalized. In another article on the internet about why R&B music has become more obscene, one of the famous 5-time Grammy nominees admits that R&B was having to compete with rap music, which he says is extremely explicit. So the R&B music had to become more explicit to compete. In other words, the listeners were signaling they wanted obscenity. Another Grammy Award winner talking about obscene lyrics put it this way: this generation has kind of become numb to it. The same way it is like someone could be bleeding on the floor and someone would be on the phone and just step over that person. We've become numb to a lot, and I think music is included. Now, these are the music artists themselves admitting that they're putting together obscene lyrics to capture the listenership of the young people of America. Now, there is just no question that explicit lyrics are rising in use and popularity. You know, another group looking at this trend determined that 40% of all of the all-time hits on TikTok list have explicit lyrics. And this increasingly popular use of obscene lyrics, everyone agrees, seems to be associated with hip-hop and rap music, which have historically been much more uncensored. You know, but at the same time now, we're seeing that the pop music genre has begun to see a robust increase in the use of explicit, obscene content. Now, the question is, does this increase in measurably obscene violence and sexual content have an effect on the listeners? You know, I think intuitively we say it must have. Well, one study by Brigham Young University researchers discovered that instances of women being treated as objects of sexual satisfaction, meaning that sexuality is being forced on girls, they discovered that this kind of sexualization dramatically increased during the 90s and after 2000, and they attributed it to two main factors. And I was surprised at one of them. Parental advisory laws passed in 1985, and then not surprised that the other one, the rise of rap music. Now, you may not know that since 1985, parental advisory warnings have been required to be placed on music with explicit content. Now, these researchers, they concluded that prior to 1985, music artists were very concerned about being censored and having their artistic freedoms limited. But when the government required this advisory, it in fact allowed the artists to say anything they wanted. And the only consequence was a parental advisory warning. That hasn't worked at all. That hasn't worked at all. So, the one way to say it is that clearly the gloves were taken off. Now the artist who would like to record obscene lyrics seem to have been unleashed. And then in another study by Stephen Martino and his associates, they found a correlation between music listened to and sexual behavior. They found that sexually degrading lyrics get correlated with higher rates of sexual activity in adolescents. Now, in this study, degrading lyrics were identified as and defined as those that portrayed women as objects and men as sexually voracious and insatiable, and included lyrics that portrayed sex as just something that was not even consequential. Martino and his team found that among kids with the highest level of exposure to these sexually degrading lyrics, more than half went on to initiate sexual intercourse. In the interview, he said, "We're talking about kids that are 12, 13, and 14 years old." It's just amazing. And, these kids are very impressionable. It's a time when they're looking to media and their friends and their parents for guidance. And he said, "We need to look at the messages they're getting before it sets a lifelong pattern of behavior." His fear as a researcher is that adolescents will confuse the lyrics of popular music with social norms. He pointed out that, boys listen to music and this kind of music, they feel an entitlement that they have a right to have many sexual relationships with women without thinking about their feelings or values. Well, there was a press release from the American Psychological Association that warns that media influences, including music lyrics, can interfere with cognitive functioning, physical health, mental health, and sexual development. Girls, they adopt these portrayals of sexuality and music from the music just as readily as the boys do. So if the message that girls are getting from these lyrics is that girls are primarily valued for their sexuality and their sex appeal, it can be damaging to their self-esteem, and they begin to feel like they need to measure up to the images that come from these sort of songs. And as you can imagine, that can be a hard thing for a young female adolescent. Now, what can parents do? What can we all do Well, we need to make sure our teenagers understand that they're targets, constantly being manipulated by the music industry. As parents or grandparents, we can do all kinds of things, from limiting access to putting parental controls on smartphones and computers. We can do all of those things, but the truth is teenagers will still have access to music with obscene lyrics at school dances and radio and sporting events and the streaming from the internet that takes place today. You know, some of these obscene songs really might be a blessing in disguise for parents of teenagers. You know, it creates the opportunity for parents to engage their teenagers in a discussion about why these songs should be considered dirty and why they should be considered inappropriate and whether they are consistent with the values and principles that the family believes in. I would go on and even say that in youth groups, in church, these kinds of things should be discussed with the young people. You know, our young people, our youth, they can be fooled by the portrayal of drug addicts and risky behavior that are featured in much of the popular music. I personally love music. I personally love popular music and hope my grandchildren will love music. Music, like everything else in life, though, we can choose an inspiring and uplifting genre of music, or we can choose music with lyrics that are obscene and degrading. I've often wondered why people seem to be drawn to things that are obscene. You know, from music artists to comedians and entertainment, there's more and more extreme obscene content. Apparently, because it draws audiences. The famous theologian R.C. Sproul relates that once he was delivering a public lecture on the relationship between the Old and New Testament, the Old and New Covenants in Scripture. And in the middle of his lecture, a man jumped up in the back of the room and became outraged when Sproul suggested that Jesus Christ's death was an atoning death, a substitutionary death on behalf of other people. The man shouted from the back of the room, "That's primitive and obscene, obscene." And Sproul said that after he got over his surprise, he replied that those are the two best descriptive words I have heard to characterize the cross. R.C. Sproul said that he liked the word obscene to describe the cross of Jesus because it was the most obscene event in the human history, as Jesus Christ became an obscenity. The moment he was on the cross, the sin of the world was imputed to him. The obscenity of a murderer, the obscenity of a prostitute, the obscenity of a kidnapper, the obscenity of a slanderer. And I might add the obscenity of certain music artists in our present age, focused on one man, Jesus Christ. Christ became the incarnation of sin, the absolute paragon of obscenity. You know, there's a sense that in which Christ was on the cross, he became the most filthy and grotesque person in the history of the world. He was both sinless, perfect, and majestic, and at the same time reflected the ugliness of human violence and obscenity all on this person. Now, as I begin to wind down this podcast, let me leave some thoughts with you. The truth is that the obscene lyrics in popular music reflect what we've become in our society. And it does not have to be this way. It does not have to be this way. You know, Romans 1, 24 through 32 warns us, "Therefore God gave them up in their lust and their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's it blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations with those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, that's what the scripture warns. And we may be seeing this in our society today, that God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, today I have talked extensively about obscene music in this podcast. The one thing you can do as a believer in God and follower of Jesus Christ is to refuse to listen to obscene music. Thank you for listening to me today, and may God bless you.